from World Evangelism Center, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, reaching every nation with Bible salvation in the sermon time. Today it is a great joy to dedicate today's Harvest Time Service International, who, through Mother's Memorial, generously blessed literally every outreach of the United Pentecostal Church around the world. To every Harvest Time listener, to KRVN in Lexington, Nebraska, WABS in Washington, D.C., in WWVA, Wheeling, West Virginia, as well as KJNP, North Pole, Alaska, Harvest Time comes to you as a gift from the wonderful women whose untiring efforts during the entire year culminate in an in-gathering. The goal for 1993 is $1,150,000. Our prayer is that you will far exceed your worthy goal. We salute International Ladies Auxiliary President Vera Kinsey and the International Ladies Auxiliary Secretary Melissa Anderson, as well as every dedicated Ladies Auxiliary member. You are making a difference, and you are a magnificent instrument in world evangelism. Also, we salute Don and Joyce Peters of Las Vegas, Nevada, and also Sister Isla Parks of Salisaw, Oklahoma, who are members of Harvest Gold International, the golden thread of evangelism that reaches our world for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The McFall Singers sing for you at this time, I Still Trust Jesus. Thank you. It is a privilege to trust Jesus, and we're so thankful that we can. I'm holding in my hand three wonderful books, one by Reverend D.L. Welch, entitled Contending for the Faith, the other a book about a great and inspiring man from the province of New Brunswick in Canada, the man from the Miramichi, C.B. Dudley, and then a thrilling story of revival in El Salvador by T. Wind Ross. These books are wonderful books, 561 pages altogether, and they bring to you tremendous messages that will be greatly inspiring. The book by D.L. Welch, who is a renowned debater and an elder statesman in the church, covers his basic preaching tenets of repentance, water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the oneness of God. You will be inspired by the works of this wonderful man, D.L. Welch. Also, the miracle book of revival from El Salvador shows a picture of a mother with little boy who was resurrected from the dead. All three of these books are available with a love gift to the Ministry of Harvest Time for worldwide evangelism for just an offering of $15 or more, should the Lord so direct. These have been made available to us so that we can make them available to you. And we are so grateful to Brother Marvin Curry of the Pentecostal Publishing House, who is also concerned with us for world evangelism. Okay, our mail address is Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. The choir of Texas Bible College, under the direction of Ed Sermon, sing for you at this time, Beyond the Open Door. Thank you. And now, just before our Harvest Time message today, Brenda Caton brings a great song entitled, The Best Things in Life Are Free.
I really thought that things could make me happy.
Now with his message entitled, The Love of God, your Harvest Time Radio minister, C.M. Becton. God bless you, Brother Becton.
One of the greatest passages of Scripture is found in Romans, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 33. Paul paused for a moment after talking about many things pertaining to both Jew and Gentile, just to give praise and adoration to God. He did it on this wise. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. This passage comes the nearest to describing God, and yet, when we read it, it makes God greater than words could ever describe. In the brief moments that I have to minister today, I want to deal with one of the greatest attributes, his love. Only as we are in complete surrender to this greatest of all lovers will our lives show forth and breathe forth the love that is ever rich and abiding, ever with a passion of rescue, and never with the least suggestion of rebellion. We could never fathom the depths of his love. We could never climb to the height of his love. We could never, with any measuring device, measure his love. And there is just no way to describe the beauty of his love. Every step he made from the sands of Egypt to the carpenter's shop in Nazareth, to the Jordan River, through the hills of Judea, on the Lake of Galilee, along the road to Bethlehem, were steps of love. To the bed of sickness, or to the grave of the dead, to the temple in Jerusalem, through the shadows of Gethsemane, through the agonies of Pilate's court, were steps of love. Up the dark slopes of Calvary, out from the grave, along the road to Emmaus, or out to Olivet for his ascension. Every stop and every step was a step of love. The Bible asserts that the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God passeth knowledge. His love is far separated from any earthly substance, having high birth in holiness. God's love has power enough to waken the sleeping and to quicken the dead. And the holy power of that love is determined by the holy heights in which it is born. Human love is tainted and lacks power to reach to the depths and exalt to the heights. But Christ's love moves among festering alleys and sewage and catches no defilement. And my friend, he loves you wherever you are right now and whatever kind of life you have been living. John wrote it better than I can say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. His love knows no social limits. It imposes no national limits. It fortifies no ecclesiastical limits. It recognizes no creedal limits. Under the sway of this dynamic love, finite powers performs infinite needs, and human faculties work divine achievements. There is no length to which it will not go. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. This is length. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He goeth after that which was lost until he find it. The love of Christ goes to the last foot of the longest road, to the last hour of the longest day, to the last minute of the longest night, and to the last breath of the longest life, to the far reaches of eternity. We must learn now that justice is but love holding the balance. Mercy is but love being gracious. And only as we are constrained by the love of Christ will we love to the heights and depths and length and breadth of our possibilities. The songwriter expressed it on this wise: could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The two parables in Luke 15 gives another beautiful picture of Jesus and his love. The first one tells of a shepherd that had 100 sheep. Losing one of them, he leaves the 99 safe in the fold and goes out in search of that one lost sheep. And when he finds him, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He calls together his friends and neighbors and urges them to rejoice with him because he found the sheep that was lost. And then there is the story of the prodigal son. Taking his portion of his father's wealth, goes out into a far country and spends it all in riotous living. Whatever kind of living that is, it must have been pretty bad. Probably included all the catalog of sins. Feeding hogs, he comes to himself and heads home. His father was waiting with open arms, a new cloak, new shoes, and a fatted calf. This, my son that was lost, is now found, and they began to be merry. I want you to think with me for the next few moments about how Jesus called people from various walks of life to real life with him. To some, he simply said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." To the little publican in the treetop, he said simply, "Come down, for today I must abide in thine house." As a tired traveler, he asked the woman at the well for a drink. Perfectly poised, he put at ease the woman who bathed his feet while others murmured against her. His suffering proves his great love. By the dirty sputum which they spat upon his cheeks, he suffered. By the rough hands that slapped his face, he suffered. By the merciless fangs of Pilate's scourge which bit to the bone in his bare back, he suffered. By the weight of the cross that he fell beneath, he suffered. By the spikes that held him to the cross, he suffered. Yes, and even to its parched lips, lacking any drop of cooling water, he suffered. The greatest need of the world today is the need on our part to desire with all our mind and heart the fellowship of his suffering. In this age of ease and worldliness, we are in danger of building up a generation of cowardly, half-hearted Christians. People satisfied with church going once on Sunday morning, if it does not rain. But if you love him as he loves you, with all of your soul, mind, and strength, you will be a vibrant and happy person in a dismal world that is filled with hatred and sin of every description. To know him is to love him, and you can do that by repenting of your sins, being baptized in his name, and being filled with his Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I would to God that today you would feel his love, that you would know his love, and that his love could be shed abroad in and through your heart by the Holy Ghost. If you will let his love reach to you, then you will become happy. Happy in this life, and happy to know that everything in this life is overcome by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb, and that you will have eternal life with him throughout the eternal ages. And may the Lord stir you to that point right today in the name of Jesus. And let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your love. We cannot define it, but we can feel it. And we pray that everyone today that is hearing this message will feel that great love and come to know you. In the name of Jesus, we'll carefully praise you for it. Amen.
Harvest time.
Today's outstanding gospel message is available to you if you will request it when you write to us at Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We would be extremely pleased to hear from you this week and to know that you are attending the United Pentecostal Church near you. You'll love the atmosphere of this truth-proclaiming center in your area. Now, in behalf of our General Superintendent, Nathaniel A. Urshan, and the people of the United Pentecostal Church International, this is Hugh Rose saying, God bless you. It was great to be with you today. We will be looking forward to being with you next week.